Well, between 25 and 30% of the world's electricity is used for refrigeration. And the technology that we rely on to keep things cool is mostly the same that it was 100 years ago. But a team of scientists in Japan, China and Australia has made a discovery that just might change all of that. They've found that solid plastic crystals can be used to absorb a surprisingly large amount of heat, offering a glimpse of the sort of cheaper, greener cooling systems that we might be able to use in the future. Sounds good. Well, the details have been published in the journal Nature, and Jonathan Webb is the ABC science editor to explain all of this for us. Hi, Jonathan.
Morning, Kathy.
This sounds like an exciting development.
It is, yeah, mostly because we really need a fix. As you mentioned, a quarter or more of the world's energy is being used at the moment, estimated, on refrigeration. That includes everything from air conditioning to other cooling systems, including the fridges, which is often the first thing we think of. And a lot of them still use, as you mentioned, very traditional systems. We use vapor cooling. So the idea of that is you have a refrigerant. So it's a fluid that starts out, I guess, as a gas. Mm. You compress it down to become a liquid instead. That actually makes it warmer, but you release all that heat out the back of the fridge, say, or the back of the air conditioner. Then when you take the pressure off and it expands back into a gas, the temperature plummets and you use that to absorb all of the heat from your lounge room or your refrigerator. And that cycle, then once it's been expanded back out into a gas, the cycle begins again out the back of the unit. And that is a pretty reliable system, but it's been the same for a long time. And so lots of researchers think we really need to explore another option, partly because of that energy use and partly because those refrigerants eventually end up in the atmosphere. Yeah. And they are very, very potent greenhouse gases. A kilo of something that's in the back of your fridge is as potent as 2 tons of carbon dioxide, which is like running a car for 6 months on end.
So how do these crystals work then?
Well, they rely on a transition within a solid. This is solid-state refrigeration rather than using a fluid and transitioning it between a solid and a gas. And these plastic crystals have a very distinctive structure, which is what was done by the Australian scientists at ANSTO, the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation. The thing that they specialised in was unpicking the structure of these crystals. And that's where the power comes from. They have an odd structure where the molecules in these crystals are arranged in a regular way, but not completely irregular. They have a kind of center of mass, each of the molecules, which is arranged in a regular lattice, and that's what you expect from a crystal. But the actual position and alignment of the molecules is irregular. They're usually wobbling around and spinning around in quite a disordered way. But if you subject them to pressure, if you squeeze them, then they can snap into an aligned structure. Mm. And that process is actually a big change in entropy, and entropy for chemistry fans out there. And that means that it can also absorb quite a lot of heat. So when you put the pressure on, it will increase in temperature. But if you release that heat, just like with the refrigerant in the back of your fridge, and then allow it to expand, or in this case, just disorder its structure again, you take the pressure off, it can drop its temperature by, one of the samples in the paper, I think, dropped its temperature by about 50 degrees. So there's a really significant capacity here for absorbing heat and a totally different type of refrigeration, which is relying on that molecular atomic structure rather than transitioning a gas between a gas and a liquid.
Atomic refrigeration sounds fantastic. A lot of benefits there, but the reality is, how far away is it?
Yeah, so this is a paper that's, it's still at the scientific stage. They're exploring the properties of these crystals, but they are remarkable properties. And if they can get it to work, then it would be a very efficient way of cooling, because it's only a small amount of pressure that you need to apply at room temperature to get these kind of remarkable changes. What they really need to work on is the durability. We don't think at the moment very many cycles you could go through with one of these crystals before it lost these properties, unlike the gas in the back of your fridge, which can go through again and again and again. So that's one thing that they're going to have to get across.
Okay, then. Now, on the subject of warming and cooling, this morning the World Meteorological Organization released its annual State of the Climate report. If you've been following along at home, you probably won't be surprised to hear the results. Not only is the global climate warming, but the change is getting faster. It's always bad news in this space, isn't it? Tell us about this report, Jonathan.
Well, it's a significant report. So this is organised by the UN, but pulls data from meteorological organisations all around the globe, including, you know, our own. And it's the 25th annual State of the Climate report that they have released. And actually, there's some of those kind of preliminary findings were announced back in February. So there's been some indication already about what's in it. But this is a pretty important global stock take that comes out every year.
And what are some of the highlights, or should I say lowlights?
Yeah, there's not many highlights unless we're talking about high temperatures. So it's the fourth warmest year on record, and that's a point that I might come back to. Lots of other things, though, are at absolute all-time highs, including things like greenhouse gas emissions, which are obviously a key concern in this space, sea level, the heat in the ocean, the acidification of the ocean. There are record highs being observed there. And importantly, the rate of change, as you mentioned, is accelerating. And that's one of the things that the authors of the report have particularly highlighted. The other thing they've done is to try to quantify some of the effects on people and economies around the world. They've talked about the extreme weather events, things like floods that are happening, and the sheer scale of them. 62 million people around the world last year were affected by those types of natural hazards, which is, you know, a pretty remarkable figure.
And you mentioned fourth warmest year on record. We've certainly been feeling it here in Australia.
Yeah, we sure have. And, you know, that might seem, fourth warmest. So we're not talking all-time highs. Mm. But if the 2018 was the fourth warmest, which 3 years do you think in all of the years that have been recorded, Kathy, were warmer than 2018?
This year?
In order, they were 2016, 2015, and 2017. So that's the four warmest years since we started recording data in the last 4 years. And in fact, the same organisation has declared in the past that 20 of the last 22 years are the warmest on record. So there's nothing surprising in this, right? Like we've been hearing this for quite some time, but it becomes quite hard to argue with. People might think that, you know, this is a UN report. It's been concocted by people in another country in a darkened room. But this is the same organisations that we rely on to predict the weather. This is data from instruments all over Australia and then from similar organisations all around the country. Yeah. You put all of that data onto a graph and those graphs are only going in one direction.
And just briefly, Jonathan, the report's been out now just for a few hours, but how's it been received already?
Well, it has, you know, been covered with a mixture of, I guess, weariness and alarm, because, as you mentioned, it's not really a surprise, but it's urgent, right? And scientists in particular have been dealing with this for quite some time, and, you know, they start to get a little exasperated. There's a quote that's been circulated from Dr. Liz Hannah, who is an expert in this field at the ANU, and this almost made me chuckle before when I read this. She says that rather than offering intelligent respite in this mad trajectory to species suicide, Australia is only making it worse. So there's quite some exasperation from the scientific community and quite a lot of attention being drawn to this around the world, because this is, as I mentioned, a pretty significant report, which is urgent and alarming, but not surprising, Kathy.
We might send a copy to the PM's office as well. Maybe Tony Abbott's too. Dr. Jonathan Webb, thanks very much for joining us today.
No worries, Kathy.
Jonathan Webb is the ABC's science editor. For all the latest science news, you can follow Jonathan and ABC Science on Twitter or look out for the science section on the ABC News website.